Your Locked On Stars, your daily podcast on the Dallas Stars. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome into the Locked On Stars podcast. I'm your host, Kenneth Nash, joining you here on Tuesday. The Dallas Stars season has officially ended. The Dallas Stars finished their year with an OT win over the Chicago Blackhawks, how we all expected it to end, in overtime, with the Dallas Stars winning. The season has come to an end. On today's episode, we'll talk about that game. We'll talk about the season in review, season by the numbers. Later this week, we'll dive into some of the stuff from the exit interviews. Had some really interesting comments from exit interviews today. We'll talk about that a little bit later on in the week and kind of look at who, like, just the playoffs, just kind of a preview of the postseason and who I will be rooting for. I'm not going to tell you who you should root for, but who I will root for as a Dallas Stars fan, as a Dallas Stars podcast. I'll tell you about that later on this week, probably tomorrow's episode. But today, I just want to talk about the Stars season in general and just kind of an overlook. Before we do, though, I want to tell you about a new podcast that we've got that will help you get hockey smart. The Crosscheck Podcast, hosted by Andrew Berkshire and Mary Clark, goes deeper into NHL stories than any other podcast with the help of the smartest minds on the ice. Follow the Crosscheck Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Let's start off. We'll talk about the game like we normally do, and then we'll kind of look at the season as a whole. First and foremost, this is a game that the Stars were absolutely deserving to win. The Stars outplayed Chicago pretty much all night long. They fell behind early. It was a brutal, brutal start. Alex DeBrincat scored 53 seconds in. Then literally less than 30 seconds later, Pius Suter made it a 2-0 Chicago lead. That was a minute 22 into the game. 2-0 Chicago was like, well, this is how they're going to end the season. But the Stars turned it on, completely outplayed Chicago from that point. Joe Pavelski got his 25th of the season, 15 minutes, 30 seconds into the first period, make it a 2-1 Chicago lead. Chicago would get back up by two. The Stars had to battle from behind all game long, multi-goal deficits multiple times. Dylan Strome, 16 minutes, 28 seconds into the second period, made it 3-1 Chicago, right with 2 seconds left in the second period. Miro Heiskanen on the power play made it a 3-2 Chicago lead. Then bounced back. Vinny Hinostroza, 8 minutes, 18 seconds into the third period, made it a 4-2 Chicago lead. And then Joel Kiviranta made it 4-3 at the 10:24 mark. And then about 2 minutes later, Jason Dickinson tied the game up, went to OT, where Jason Robertson won it in OT for the Stars with about 30 seconds left in the overtime period. You look at the numbers from this game, Dallas completely outplayed Chicago. 50 shots on goal for the Stars to 23 for the Blackhawks. Stars won 53% of the faceoffs, 1-for-3 on the power play, 4-for-4 on the penalty kill. It was a game that you look at the numbers and you're like, how did Dallas not win this in regulation by multiple goals? Double them up on shots, 50 shots on goal. You win 57% of the faceoffs. You connect on the power play, and you hold them 0-for-4 on the penalty when you're on the penalty kill. You would think that the Stars should have run away with this one. They didn't, though. They had to battle. They had to play from behind for pretty much this entire game. The Stars, from basically the 53-second mark until the 12:18 mark of the third period, the Stars trailed. They didn't lead until Jason Robertson scored that goal. So it was a game that the Stars had to work and grind from behind to get back and win this game. But it was a big win for the Dallas Stars. I tweeted after the game and said, this is absolutely the way you want to end this season. The year's over, unfortunately, for this team. But you look at what they were able to do in this final game, and it at least gives you a little bit of, I guess, a little bit of hope looking towards next season, especially taking on a Central Division opponent. You saw guys, I mean, just fight, and that's what you want to see. And when I say fight, it's not I'm not questioning whether these guys cared about winning or whether these guys quit or anything like that. But just to see them, you know, I think everybody would have been, you know, nobody would have held it against them if when they go down 2-0 in the first minute and a half, hey, just kind of phone it in, mail it in, you know, play hard, but, you know, not double up your opponent in shots hard, 50 shots on target kind of mentality, anything like that. I think that's something that you have to credit this Stars team for. And it's what you want to see out of a team that has big expectations going into next year. The Stars are going to still have very high expectations when next season starts. So, phoning it in, mailing it in, and just saying, hey, you know, whatever happened kind of thing is not the way for this team to go about it, because when you flip the clock and you go to next year, the Dallas Stars need to be a contender again next year. They're too good, they're too talented to not be in the playoffs next year, especially when they get fully healthy. So I said I wanted the Stars these last two games. I wanted to see this team put in effort. Not that they haven't been putting up effort, but put in effort. I wanted to see them work hard. I wanted to see them compete, and I wanted to see them win. And that's what they did with an overtime win, which is just kind of poetic in its own kind of sadistic way, right? That the Dallas Stars, who were so atrocious in OT and in the penalty shootout all season long, just horribly awful all year long. The Dallas Stars win their final game of the season in OT, a game that they have to play from behind this entire game, come back and win it in OT, something they failed to do pretty much all year long. If they'd done it half the times that they'd been OT, if they had done this, they would be in a playoff spot. So just kind of a weird, you know, insult to injury. You're happy they won, but really this is how they had to win it kind of way. So, you know, for Dallas, the big win, 2 points, it doesn't really matter, but I think it's a good way to end the season, a lasting positive way for the Stars team to end the season. And now they look ahead, right? And we'll get into some of the stats for the team and players and everything at the end, and kind of just look in the season in totality and evaluate in totality. But the Stars are a team that immediately got to turn their attention to next year, because this is not a rebuilding team where you've got a 3-year plan to get you back in the playoffs. The expectation is this Dallas Stars team this time next year should be in a play. You'll be in the playoffs, be in the postseason when it comes to the playoff time next year. That if they're not, that is a failure for this Dallas Stars team in a way that this year's kind of a failure too. Now, do they have some legitimate reasons? Yeah, absolutely, and we'll talk about some of those a little bit today. But the matter of it is, the fact of the matter of it is that they've got to be better next season. They've got to be in the playoffs next season, or else there is some significant changes coming this franchise's way. And I'm talking beyond the bench, beyond the coaching staff. I fully believe that the Stars are out of the playoffs next year, you're seeing wholesale organizational changes for this team, because this year the excuses are kind of built in. Next year you shouldn't have any of these excuses. You should be a playoff team come next season. We'll see how that goes, and obviously we won't know until we get there, but the preparation for next year starts now. The preparation for this season absolutely starts right now for this Dallas Stars team. Let's step aside real quick. We come back, we'll talk about the season kind of in totality. I want to look at some of the Stars' most important players. Stars, we're not going to do like end of the season awards yet. We'll maybe save and do that maybe later in the week or something like that. But just kind of look through some of the most influential players, some turning points of the year, just kind of the year as a whole, and just kind of look back on it before we turn attention to the postseason for the rest of these teams in the offseason for the Dallas Stars. Before we do that, I want to talk to you about Wealthfront. Decades of data show that investors that trade individual stocks underperform the market every year. In fact, only 1% of day traders beat the market. The odds are not in your favor if you're doing it alone. Team up with Wealthfront instead. Investing can be complicated, but whether you're a beginner or you've been investing for years, Wealthfront makes it easy. They've got the right tools for every portfolio. Wealthfront can create a portfolio of globally diversified, low-cost index funds personalized just for you in minutes. There's no manual trades, no picking stocks, no watching the stock market every single day. They automatically handle all the investing based on the preferences that you control. They've been trusted with over $20 billion of assets, and you can get your first $5,000 managed for free by going to wealthfront.com/lockedonNHL. To get your first $5,000 managed for free, go to wealthfront.com/lockedonNHL. That's WEALTHFRONT.com/lockedonNHL to start growing your savings. Wealthfront.com/lockedonNHL. Get started today. All right, let's take a back here with Locked On Stars podcast. Let's take a quick look at just the season in totality, and we'll look at it from an individual perspective. We'll look at it from a team perspective first, and just kind of recap this year. And I want to kind of give my evaluation of this team. Obviously, it started off on a very, very high note. Actually, scratch that. Before the season started off on a low note, a difficult note. The Dallas Stars saw their start of the season delayed, and their lead up into the start of the season delayed because of a COVID outbreak within the organization. Players, staff included, affected quite a number of players and staff. Really kind of slowed down the team's ability to kind of get the year started and to get the season going. Just kind of put it all on delay. Thought that might affect him negatively. It didn't up front. You look at the team and how they started the season. That's where they started on a positive note. 7-0 win over the Nashville Predators. Then they turn around, beat Nashville again, beat Detroit twice, start the season 4-0-0. The team's flying. You're going, all right, here they go. They're back, and they're back with a vengeance. And then the struggles begin. You look at this team from that point forward, 2 losses at the end of the month of January to Carolina. Then they split a series in Columbus. They're beaten in OT twice by Chicago, beaten by Carolina twice, beaten by Florida 2 out of 3 games, and beaten by Tampa Bay to end the season, in the month of February. They won just 2 games in the entire month of February. Brutal, brutal month for them in February. Surely the turnaround's got to be coming, though, right? It didn't. They lost their first 2 games in March, then beat Columbus 5-0, then they lose to Nashville in a shootout, then they split games with Chicago, then they split games with Columbus, then they lose to Tampa Bay, they split games with Detroit, they lose to Nashville, they split games with Tampa Bay, they lose twice to Florida, and they lose to Nashville. Better month in March by far than February, considering they had more than 2 wins in the month of March. They won 2, 3, 4, 5 games in the month of March, much better, but still, that was when, you know, February, end of February to the beginning and middle of March was when we kind of saw the stars as a team, like, hey, they're really, really struggling. They really, where's the turnaround going to come from? That was kind of how we evaluated their month of March. Fast forward to April, and the stars turned it on. And at the end of the month of March, we started to see an energy kind of shift. And you look at the month of April, and they really started to turn it on. To start April, they start with 2 straight wins, one on the road in Nashville, one on the road in Carolina. Lose a game to Carolina, then they split 2 games in Nashville. They beat Florida. They lose to Nashville, but in the shootout. Then they lose to Florida, but in OT, so they still pick up a couple of points. Then they beat Columbus twice. They beat Detroit 3 out of 4 times. They beat Carolina 2 out of 2 games. So April looked really, really good, and it set up for a run-in, like, you know, that was going to be very, very difficult, but was one that the Stars had an opportunity to get into the postseason. Started off with a loss in Tampa Bay, then a loss in OT to Nashville. That was really the backbreaker. Lost in OT to Florida, lost in regulation to Tampa Bay. Then they beat Tampa Bay on Friday, this past Friday, and then a win over Chicago to finish the season. But they just, going into that run, and they just looked a little gassed. They kind of ran out of energy. They were missing just the 1 or 2 breaks they needed to turn that run in around. If they beat Nashville, if you flip it and they beat Nashville in OT, and then you flip it and maybe they beat Florida in OT, we're talking about a different conversation. They've got 2 more points going into the series against Tampa Bay, and maybe we're talking about a different situation for the team overall. Not only that, but you're also taking away a point from Nashville. But they looked a little bit out of gas. They didn't, you know, the OT overtime and shootout bug came back to bite them once again. And, you know, they finished the season outside of the playoffs. Final divisional standings in the Central this year for Dallas. They finished 5th with 60 points in 56 games, 4 points out of a playoff spot. They did have a better goal differential than Nashville by 2. Stars were 13-7-8 at home, 10-12-6 on the road, 2-6 in the shootout. But of course, they lost 14 games that went past regulation. You flip that, compare that to Nashville, who finished 4 points ahead of them. Nashville lost only 2 games in OT and regulation. That was a big, big part of this season narrative for the Dallas Stars. Dallas, overall, finished 5th ahead of Chicago, ahead of Detroit, ahead of Columbus, well off the pace of the top 3. They were battling it out with Nashville. You look at the season as a whole, and we talked about the COVID situation that started the season for Dallas, kind of put them in a weird spot. They were down Tyler Seguin and Ben Bishop to start the year, 2 massive losses. They lose Joel Kiviranta early on in the year. He missed most of the season. They lose Roope Hintz for a little bit, and he plays he goes down with injury, plays off and on the rest of the year, plays the majority of the games the rest of the season. But come to find out, he had a groin injury that's going to require surgery this offseason that he basically played through all season long. You lose Alexander Radulov for the majority of the season. And then the return of Ben Bishop doesn't happen. The return of Tyler Seguin is delayed later than we anticipated it being. And that was kind of a perfect storm in terms of not quite having enough on the ice to win some of these important games. You compound that with smack dab in the middle of the season. North Texas gets hit with a historic winter storm that that knocks out power, creates a serious power outage and power surge problem in North Texas. The Dallas Stars don't play for an entire week because of that. You had players' homes that were flooded and that didn't have power. They were having to go live with other players, their families. It was just it was a bad situation for the entirety of North Texas. Definitely impacted the Stars in that regard as well. It was just kind of a perfect storm for Dallas this year, underperforming at different points, unlucky at different points, and then you compound it with the guys that they had out for big, big parts of the season, just weird interruptions to the year. It really, really, and the interruptions, the effects of those lasted longer than just maybe the week or the week after. They heavily condensed the Dallas Stars schedule. They had the toughest schedule past like the month of February, really, in the entire NHL. And it was just kind of a perfect storm. And we've talked about how do you evaluate this team in this year. And I think you have every right to be disappointed with the result. I think expectations were higher for this team, even with the injuries. I think expectations were a little bit higher. I think this team, you go from being a Stanley Cup final, you should be making the playoffs the next season, especially returning that majority of that roster. That being said, do I sit there and do I go, this team really was a failure, or this year really was a failure, like any or anything like that? I don't think so. I think you'd be hard pressed to say that, just because you look at the team and what they did this year and what they had to go through, and you go, that in a condensed schedule with the players they were missing, this was not the Dallas Stars' fair shake by any means. So maybe you're disappointed. I think you're very fair to be disappointed how it turns out, especially relative to expectations. But I think you have to look at it and go, we can't make a wholesale judgment about this team and where they're at based off this season. I've seen a couple of people, media personalities, try to do that, and maybe it is. Maybe the team is farther off than we think they are and project them out to be. But I think you look at this team and you go, with the interruptions, with the injuries, with the condensed schedule, there was the deck was so stacked so far against this team that making the postseason was going to be incredibly difficult just on the surface. And you know, maybe you look at it and you go, the fact that they were in the playoff race as late as they were was a positive in and of itself. So you know, looking to next year, I think expectations are the same. This team should be a playoff team. They should be a contender. And if they're not, then you now start to ask legitimate questions about where this team is at, what this team's going to do to get better. But right now, wholesale changes or any drastic changes to the organization, player personnel, coaching personnel, anything like that, I think are going to have to be held off, because I don't think you can fairly and justly evaluate what this team did this year and consider what they did this year as kind of the overarching picture of where this team is as a franchise. So let's step aside one more time. We come back, we'll kind of look at the season, top performers for the Stars this season, and guys who were the most influential for them on the ice. Before we finish this episode, though, I want to talk to you about Bet Online, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season's in full swing. You can track the action at Bet Online. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and UFC MMA action. Before the next pitch, head to Bet Online on your laptop or mobile device and check out the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest info. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device today to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit when you use promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. I also want to talk to you about Rock Auto. There's an ever-increasing number of vehicle makes and models out there, and with all those vehicle makes and models, it's impossible for a traditional chain storefront to store all the parts that you need. Don't go to these chain stores that they carry one brand, so you have to pay the one price they have set, because there's no variation in what they carry. It's just what their warehouse happens to have. Go to rockauto.com. You have access to it at home and in your pocket. They've got tons of brands, prices, specs. You can choose from all of it. Their prices are reliably low. They're the same whether you're a pro or a do-it-yourselfer. Why spend twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. While you're there, write Locked On in there, how did you hear about us box, so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. wrapping up today's episode. Just kind of want to take a refresh over the final tallies for some of the individual players for the Dallas Stars this season, especially those that were the most influential. Joe Pavelski, of course, finishes the season as the Stars' number one point skater, 51 points in 56 games, 25 goals, 26 assists. He was a plus 22. He was an incredibly important player for the Dallas Stars this season. On top of that, he obviously rebounded in terms of what the Stars expected to get when they signed him a couple of off seasons ago. He cemented himself as somebody who's going to be an important, influential part of this team next season. He's under contract next year. $7 million, $7 million cap hit, 21-22. So he's absolutely going to be back, going to be an influential part of this team. The rookie, Jason Robertson, finishes with 45 points in 51 games. He does finish a few points shy of Kirill Kaprizov in the NHL rookie scoring race. Probably going to be on the outside looking in for that Calder Trophy. I think he's number two on a lot of people's ballots, probably heading into voting. Finished the season 6 points shy of Kaprizov in three fewer games. Did have a better plus-minus, plus 13. Kaprizov was plus 11. Points per game went to Kaprizov in the end, who had a really nice scoring tear to kind of finish the season. Kaprizov, 0.94 points per game. Robertson was 0.88. Both those guys far and away better than any of the other skating rookies in the year in the league. Pardon me. Robertson did edge him on even strength points with 39 compared to Kaprizov's 38. Kaprizov did a lot of damage on the power play, where he had 13 power play points. And Robertson skated a little over a minute less time than him during the regular season. I think he's still going to be on the outside looking in terms of rookie scoring. But you look at Robertson's Calder voting. But you look at his numbers overall. Jason Robertson had a phenomenal season for the Dallas Stars. Breakout star. He's a guy that I think this team's going to build around for years to come. I think he's emerged as probably their top forward, young forward. If you take Roope Hintz out of that kind of mix, and probably Denis Kurianov too, Robertson, Delandria, those kind of class of players, I think he's the number one guy in that group, and I think you could make a case that he's the number one prospect for this team. If you take out Miro Heiskanen, and you've got Harley and Delandria and those kind of guys in there, I think there's a case to be made that he is the guy moving forward for this team. Roope Hintz, the only point per game player the Stars had this year, except for Radulov, who only played 11 games. Roope Hintz scored 43 points in 41 games, 15 goals, 28 assists. He was very good this year. Plus 15 on the season. Very good on the power play. Hintz emerged, I think, is maybe the Stars' best player this season. At least their best forward, most important forward. He was influential when he was on the ice. He missed some time because of that groin injury. That's going to be the question for him moving forward. How healthy can he stay over the course of a season? If he can stay healthy, he's an incredibly talented player. He makes this Stars offense tick. He causes so many problems. Great skater, great on the power play, great creator, good goal scorer. This guy's going to be a problem, and he's only 24, so that is a bright spot for this Dallas Stars team. He's also under contract for 2 more years after this year at just $3.15 million. That is a steal for a player of Roope Hintz's caliber. Rounding out the top scorers for the Dallas Stars, John Klingberg with 36 points in 53 games, Jamie Benn 35 and 52, Denis Kurianov 30 and 55, and Miro Heiskanen 27 and 55, then a significant drop to Esa Lindell, who was at 16 through 56. In terms of goalies, Jake Ottinger finishes the season 236 goals allowed average, 9.11 save percentage. He's got a shutout under his belt as well. He was 11-8-7 in 24 starts, 29 total appearances. Very, very good year for Jake Ottinger. That's a big takeaway for the Dallas Stars this year. Jake Ottinger is your goalie of the future. Anton Udobin, 254 goals allowed average, 905 save percentage, 3 shutouts. He was 12-11-7 in 32 starts. Not quite the numbers that we were hoping for Anton Udobin. I do think that we've seen the last of Anton Udobin in a Dallas Stars uniform. He's obviously been a big part of this Dallas Stars team, an influential part of this Dallas Stars team. Obviously, was one of the, if not the main catalyst for their Stanley Cup final run last season. But with Ben Bishop coming back from injury, Jake Ottinger emerging as the guy of the future and ready to go at the NHL level, I think we will see the Dallas Stars and Anton Udobin part ways at the end of the season. Some other notable players that I think are going to have big years next year. I think Joakim Ranta with a full season, I think, will be an important depth scorer for this Dallas Stars team. Alexander Radulov only played in 11 games, had 12 points. If he comes back and produces like he did before he got hurt this year, if he does that next year, we're talking about one of the best players on this Dallas Stars team. He was absolutely critical. He was a +9 with 12 points in 11 games. That's unbelievable numbers. If he had played this year all year long, the Dallas Stars may be having a different conversation. Same goes for Tyler Seguin, who finished with a couple of points in the only three games he played. He was sat for the final two games after the Stars were eliminated from the postseason. If the Stars had Radulov and Seguin all year long healthy, this Dallas Stars team is in the postseason. I'm confident of that. I'm 100% confident of that for the Dallas Stars. That's good all for this episode, though. We'll be back tomorrow, kind of look at the playoffs from a neutral perspective. I'll also give you the team that I think I'm going to root for in the postseason. We'll have that tomorrow. And we enter in the offseason mode. We'll have a lot of great content coming your way. Recaps from individual players, breakdowns of players, outlooks, draft content, off-season content, all of that stuff coming your way on the Locked On Stars podcast. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at Locked On Stars. Follow my personal account at Kenneth_Nash19. And make sure to follow wherever you listen to your podcast so we show up in your feed every day. Thank you for tuning in all regular season long. It's been an up and down journey, but it's been a fun one. I appreciate you tuning in. Make sure to stick around for all of this great off-season content that we've got coming your way. It's time to start rebuilding, not rebuilding from a franchise perspective, but we start rebuilding our energy and our desire to watch this Dallas Stars team make the playoffs next year. We start that day one, starts tomorrow. Make sure to tune in for that. But that's going to be it for this one. Thank you for enjoying. Thank you for tuning in, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Your Locked On Stars, your daily podcast on the Dallas Stars. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.